Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's good to have you here. Brand new summer hours. If you're just joining us, we've already been on the air for an hour, and boy, did you miss an outstanding hour.
Miss a lot, they
say. Yeah, I'm done now. I put in my 60. Yeah.
We announced at the beginning of the 2 o'clock hour it was going to be Ray's best hour ever, and you missed it.
He was so handsome last hour.
Woo!
He was so on point.
I could barely keep my hands to myself.
It's 3:02. Now it's a disaster.
You guys are keeping me up.
It is good to have you here today. 888-957-9570 is the number. Coming up starting Monday, July 8th. If you want a chance to win $5,000, just get someone famous to call the show. That's all we're asking for. What kind of fame? Well, big fame. Not just sports world fame, celebrity fame. The bigger the fame, the better your chances of winning $5,000. It all starts on Monday, July 8th. It's our celebrity contest. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. It'll get us through what we also like to call All-Star Week, which is a tough week of sports radio, but we will.
Shouldn't that be how we basically say you have to do this for us?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
You say this is your burden no longer, not ours.
We entertain you for free all year round.
If you don't come through, we're just going to whittle on the air for 4 hours.
Yeah, we're going to let the audience book the show. It should be really, really good.
You know what?
Should
the whittling,
lazy
whittling. It's like the. You know, people listen to people smacking their lips and stuff now. That might actually be very popular radio, whittling.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
It's got letters, EMDR or something. Somebody knows. Somebody out there knows and will text it to the text line. But it's like a weird thing where people like to watch videos of noises.
Just like people whispering. And
yeah,
stuff like
they
that.
Whisper. They like
EMDR
smack their lips.
Therapy.
There you go. I think that's a different therapy.
It's amazing what passes for therapy these days.
I think EMDR therapy might be a different thing. I might have crossed that up in my brain.
NBA awards show tonight at 6 o'clock. It is horrific programming. Let's just be totally honest in what it is.
What are they doing?
What they're doing is removing what was what I thought as cool of an encore moment as a fan base and a player get to have by denying the MVP being awarded around into the playoffs, which it normally used to be. It denies that very special moment where a player picks up an MVP in front of his home crowd and gets the MVP chant. And obviously, if you got a natural connection between the – I mean, I'll never forget when Derrick Rose was able to pick up that MVP at the United Center and what that meant.
It was Steph Curry here.
Big deal for him. Yeah, I mean, what would have made it even more dramatic is if he'd been born in Oakland. You know
right.
what I mean? That doesn't happen anymore. We have this stupid award show that no one – like, how do we have to – like, if we have an ESPYs, why do we also have an NBA award show?
Because programming always needs to eat.
I guess so.
And no, that's the only reason this exists. Because go ahead.
Isn't there diminishing returns at some point?
Oh, at some point the bubble will burst and everybody will be out of work.
And I think, like, this – things like this – inflate the bubble, that bubble disproportionately. When you go ahead and trot out an insane award show that nobody wants, no one ever asked for, and I don't think anybody's really watching as far as I can tell, this is the stuff that super inflates that bubble that's going to burst all over all of us, and I find it annoying.
Okay, but the people who make these decisions, because this is the cynical world of television, they're just trying to get to retirement like everybody else, and they have to report to somebody that said, why did we have crap programming on day X?
Yeah.
Well, we could have done an award show. Those are easy and cheap to produce. Well, then do it next time. That's it. It's no more complicated than that. It's feeding the beast, and it doesn't matter what the beast eats because the beast doesn't care.
Well, the beast today wanted a little warrior rookie to chew on. We will hopefully be saying hello to Jordan Poole a little bit later on today. I know that at this hour, he is getting all the rookies that the Warriors drafted who were introduced to the media today are getting a tour of their eventual new home, Chase Center. So after that, I believe we're going to hook up with Jordan Poole. We're looking forward to that. Bob Myers today was talking about what really his three picks have in common.
You have to love your job. You have to love your craft. I think they all love basketball, and it sounds kind of simple, but that's what's going to determine how hard they work. That's what's going to determine how competitive they are. I wish I could say everybody that plays in the NBA loves playing basketball. That's not true. So you want to get guys that have a thirst for it, that would play for $5, you know. I think all these guys love it. Obviously, Alan came over here, and I couldn't imagine learning a new language and a new culture and traveling over to where he's from at that age. Obviously, you know, for Jordan, I was always scared. I couldn't make big shots. I can't even make them in a pickup game. So to have that kind of confidence, and then Eric, obviously, being a champion. I mean, that stuff matters. So it's all the factors, all the things that got them to where they are is what makes them attractive and hopefully what they will be.
You know, Jordan Poole is so unafraid to shoot. He has been, you know, that's been almost negatively weaponized against him, saying that he's a little bit of a Nick Young kind of a ball hog. But when it comes to succeeding at the next level, you cannot be gun shy for sure. Alan Smilagic, the 18-year-old. Serbian Dirk, he said that this is where he's wanted to be from the get-go.
I know, I really wanted to join this club because in the Santa Cruz, people and players have been really nice to me because I was the youngest one and they didn't react like I'm some child. They react to me like I'm a real player, like a professional, and I really liked it.
Eric Paschal, never even been to the West Coast before. Welcome.
This is brand new to me. I've been in the East Coast my whole life, so just being out here is kind of different. I mean, I've heard it's a lot slower than New York, but I appreciate it. I mean, I was training in California, and it was a lot slower, but it's a lot. Everybody's a lot nicer, too.
Oh, so he has been out here. Slower is not the way to describe it. Laid back. That's the right way to describe it. You know, I whenever I get back to the East Coast, one of the things that I immediately realize is that, like, this whole grind out here is something that people put on like a pair of underpants. Like, they love the grind. They don't want to take it easy. They relish not taking it easy. That's a weird way to go through life. We're just a little bit better at prioritizing when to take it easy. I mean, this is by the way, that's why California is the most populous state by a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know.
That and the weather.
Yeah. So the lifestyle is going to be fantastic, Eric. Believe me, it's going to fit like a glove. And, oh, yeah, never shoveling your driveway ever again. I mean, you had me at we don't need to salt this road. You had me right there. 888-957-9570 is the number. Jay Billis is going to be joining us today around 4 o'clock. We're looking forward to that conversation only because the NCAA says, what do you know, the pesky state of California is getting in the way, possibly, of them basically turning student-athletes into indentured servants in perpetuity, and that California schools might now be banned from championship rounds if a bill about a player controlling his or her image or likeness is actually passed by the California State Assembly. So this is going to be very, very interesting. Got a guy here on the text line saying Bob Myers' approach is getting so old.
I'm so glad you read that. I was going to say, I wonder what he means.
I don't understand.
Or she.
What is it about Bob Myers' approach that is getting old to you? About glowing about the players that he just drafted, which everyone does, about treating people well, about thoughtful answers. Like, look, if you want to say I'm not happy with the hit to miss ratio of the last two or three drafts from Bob Myers, that's fine. That's okay.
I think that's very setting a pretty high standard,
but
fair.
The approach,
but fair.
The man's approach is one of the things I admire most about the Golden State Warriors, and I think it's one of the best weapons they have to keep this thing on track.
Totally agree.
Yeah, we're going to have more on that in just a moment. Your phone calls open and welcome at 888-957-9570. Oh, Adam Silver has just eliminated a word from the NBA lexicon. We'll tell you about a word you're not allowed to use coming up next after we say hello to Elena, who will tell you what's coming up this afternoon on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Is the number. Jay Billis is going to join us at 4 o'clock from ESPN. He just covered the NBA draft. He is all over what's going on in college basketball and the NCAA, which pretty much is just an irrelevant behemoth at this point, preventing more opportunity than it's extending these days. At least that's the way it feels. The NCAA says that California schools might be banned from championships if a bill isn't dropped. The bill that is being proposed here in the state of California is going to grant players the right to their image and likeness. And this is something that the NCAA wants to prevent, obviously, because being granted the rights to your image and likeness in perpetuity is a good way to never have to pay you for your services.
That is just, I mean, if ever you needed just a very plain scenario to look at what a corrupt, foul organization the NCAA is. They are currently fighting teenagers for those teenagers' own likeness. Like, that's who the NCAA is. No, you can't have what you look and play like. It's ours.
Right. You
it's
can't,
offensive, frankly.
Yeah, you can't earn a nickel off of a jersey sold with your name on it.
And it's not even that. It's beyond that. You can't use your fame to earn $10.
You don't own you.
You don't own yourself anymore.
But more than that, because, I mean, the morality of this is clear.
Yes.
It's such an ignorant move because at some point, without California, the Pac-12 basically...
There isn't.
They're basically saying the Pac-12 doesn't exist. And the Pac-12, for as many problems as it has, still generates a whole lot of money. And what would prevent, at this point, what would prevent the five major conferences from seeing this and saying they could come after us next if our state legislature decides to do this? Why don't we just band together and break off, and they can have the Mid-American Conference and the Sun Belt and the Summit and the Horizon. They can knock themselves out with that. We'll take all the money and all the TV markets. It's suicide. And because it's the NCAA, it's slow motion suicide. So I hope they do this because I think it is the only way to break them of the notion that they get to own somebody else's face.
USA Today reports the NCAA is ratcheting up its opposition to a California bill that would allow college athletes in the state to earn compensation for use of their own name, image, or likeness beginning in 2023. In a letter to the chairs of two state assembly committees last week, NCAA President Mark Emmert implied that if the bill becomes law as it is written, California schools could face the prospect of being prohibited from participating in NCAA championships. That includes 23 NCAA Division I schools, four of which are in the Pac-12 conference. The bill overwhelmingly passed the state Senate last month. And let's just be totally honest. You could say UCLA, UCLA, USC till you're blue in the face. Stanford,
yeah,
is a major, major player when it comes to, you know, annual collegiate championships. They are winning the, what do they call it, trophy? Was it the President's Trophy? Like every single year?
Yeah, it used to be the Sears Trophy when they were busy doing business with Sears. Hardware people.
Right.
They're also a relevant player in college football. Well, USC and Stanford,
yeah.
you can't lose them.
Well, where was the last national championship game?
Mm-mm.
Levi Stadium.
True story.
Where is a future championship game destined, guaranteed to be played whatever the Rams are building down in
the
Los
Inglewood
Angeles.
Monstrosity.
Are you telling me, NCAA, you're just going to take a red line veto through the word California and that'll be that?
They're going to back off of this.
Of course they will. And
go ahead.
No, well, it's going to be legal machinations like this, which keep on painting the dinosaur that is the NCAA further into a corner of irrelevance. I think it's great. Bring it.
You know what? The thing to me is this. I can erase that slow motion suicide. I feel like this organization has been engaged in slow motion suicide for my entire life, and they won't die.
Oh, no, because nothing dies.
Yeah.
Boxing, by logic, should have died long ago. Horse racing right now, I mean, it looks like they're going to die because they can't keep their horses alive.
Yeah.
But nothing ever dies. It just sort of whinges on, you know, belching black and blue smoke behind it. But no, the NCAA will figure out a way to contrive a method by which this law can pass, and they'll just look the other way, except for those moments when they feel like getting their backs up.
Someone on the text line says, screw the NCAA in the draft. Is KD coming back or what? God bless you. Look, here's the thing. We don't know.
Fair question. We don't know the answer.
We don't know. Anyone who tells you that they know is lying to you.
Yeah.
We have literally been discussing this for the better part of...
a year.
3 years.
My whole life, it feels
3 years. It's been... Since Kevin Durant signed, we've been counting down the days till he left. So, I mean, it's God bless you. You're our kind of audience. But the only thing I know is that you'll be here tomorrow.
That's
God bless you, sir or madam. We ask that question subliminally, if nothing else, almost on a daily, hourly, monthly, constant, minute-by-minute basis. We don't know. The same way that nobody knows what Kawhi Leonard's about to do next, even though it would feel a little bit like he's tipping his hand. Kawhi's doing things to make you feel a little Canadian-y with the business decisions that he's making. He is going to decline that option worth $21.3 million to become an unrestricted free agent. We knew that was going to happen. The Raptors are the only team that can offer him a max contract, 5 years, $190 million, and now he is seriously considering that, according to Yahoo's Chris Haynes. I guess he's already come close to striking a deal with the Canadian Airlines or something like that. If you're striking a deal to become the face of Air Canada, you're probably not about to call LAX your home hub. I don't know.
Air Canada flies all over the world, presumably.
They do.
United Airlines certainly does.
Keyword being
American. American Airlines flies all over. I don't know that this means anything to me. And if anything, I think it means in my brain he's pretty much all the way out the door to Los Angeles. I don't know about the Air Canada thing. Hard for me to weigh in on the Canadian Airlines. The serious consideration bit, it's hard for me to envision a scenario where Kawhi has a meaningful change in his thought process leading him more towards Canada and then leaks that out. I don't see that. What I can imagine is Kawhi being like, these people are nice. Let's throw them a bone. Oh, thinking real hard about Canada, you guys. And in 2 weeks, you just missed. Nice try. It was right there, down to the wire. I seriously considered you, and I'm going to LA.
There's no way to smoothly deliver that news, though.
It's better than the decision, isn't it? Like, I seriously considered staying is better than I'm taking my talents to South Beach on television.
Jim Gray disagrees.
There's this weird thing that the media is doing now, which is basically, I'm going to follow him everywhere, and if it looks like he got to-go food, it must mean he's leaving. I mean, we saw a thing, he got boxes, he bought boxes somewhere. He must be getting ready to move. I'm going to guess that he doesn't do his own packing.
I'm going to guess he boxes things up all the time. Kawhi Leonard feels like a guy who deals with boxes.
Well, but you know nothing more about it than the nitwit who said, he got boxes, he must be leaning toward... Nobody knows, which
That's
is
true.
What he wants. He wants nobody to know. He's amused by the all this hoop jumping we do.
I think it's clear that Kawhi is amused by his own sort of developed man of mystery persona.
And he's amused by our reaction
yes.
to it.
Yeah.
Because we literally, and when I say we, I mean the two of you.
Uh-huh.
I think that he finds all this incredibly amusing in that I am a watcher of the skies and I am looking at this, you know, this meaningless life form called humanity, watching them obsess over where I'm going next. I think he finds that hilarious.
He's just a
and
guy.
I think we should too.
He's just a guy standing in a New York apartment, flicking the lights on and off and watching roaches run back and forth.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's, and that's as good an analogy as there is. It's just, I don't think I think he knows what he wants to do,
yeah.
But he definitely likes A, the fact that people obsess about it, and B, that when he goes, the people that he chooses not to go with will love him anyway.
Yeah.
He has leverage in ways that Kevin Durant doesn't, in that no matter what happens, he maxes out his money and everybody still loves him. That's a nice deal.
Boxman gets paid.
Boxman does get paid.
Boxman gets paid. Adam Silver just saw this on TMZ saying that the word owner is essentially now dead in NBA circles, saying we moved away from that term years ago, which is a completely false statement. Like, this is brand new thinking for today, Adam, that has not been squashed in the NBA lexicon years ago. We broke the story. Multiple NBA teams, including the Clippers and 76ers, have stopped using the title owner because it feels racially insensitive in a league where the majority of the players are black. When we saw Silver out in New York City, we asked if he supported the decision and how the league's office is handling the issue. He says, quote, I don't want to overreact to the term because, as I said earlier, people end up twisting themselves into knots avoiding the use of the word owner, but we moved away from the term years ago in the league. We call our team owners governor of the team and alternate governor. No, you don't. I mean, if you do, you'd started doing that this afternoon. I mean, like, I think it's nice to evolve, but we don't have to have a full lie to revise history to, you know, pull the start date back to when, you know, the president found out how many casualties there are going to be, so call off the strike. I mean, some of the things not lining up here. This is ridiculous. You don't need to lie about a decision. Most reasonable people would go, all right, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is say he owns the company that runs the team. I mean, the offensive part is clear. It just,
I don't.
People don't get to own other people. But beyond that, it's sub-semantic, and it's just they don't call each other governors. More to the point.
Yeah. Hello,
and
governor.
We'll take the Warriors as an example. Joe Lacob is not.
Governor Lacob, you mean?
Oh, so we're moving his first name in general.
Governor Lacob.
Okay.
Is it now, is this governor with an apostrophe or governor full spelling?
How about Gov, G-U-V?
Gov.org.
Yeah. He doesn't own the largest piece of the Warriors.
Right.
So is he an owner at all? Is he a governor at all?
As it turns out,
they get to name whoever they want as governor. To me, the governor is the guy who has the most money in the game.
Except I think that's why governor actually probably is more appropriate, is that the guy who runs ownership for each team is not necessarily the owner of the team. Usually the person we refer to as owner is just the person that the real owner has chosen to be the forward-facing person.
The only thing that he needed to do, and I agree with Damon here, the only thing he needed to do was say, we have 30 men, well, 29 men and one woman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Gail Benson.
Two women.
Yeah.
Oh, and Jeannie.
And Jeannie.
No, well, three women.
Who's the first one?
Linda Rambis. You're forgetting Linda.
Well, two women run the Lakers, turns out.
27 men and three women own teams. All you have to do is say, you can use the word owner. We would prefer that you use the word owner if you're referring to a team, but not in relation to a player. Because a team is a corporate entity. And you can own a business.
Yeah, my thing with this is, you're right, and anyone who says this feels like something we shouldn't get overly sensitive about is entitled to their opinion, and I don't even necessarily disagree with that, but here's what I do think, and I pretty much hold to this on all of these types of issues of political correctness. who's it really hurt to stop? And I know you're not saying anything other than that, but maybe it's a short list of folks, and no one on this show is saying, no, I must say owner as much as possible. That's not the argument. It's just, with all this stuff, who cares? If it's governor, if they want me to say governor, I'm happy to say governor. If they want me to say injured list, I'm happy to say injured list. I really don't care. It makes no difference to me whatsoever.
Don't change the history of what you've done to fit a press release.
I would agree, but isn't the weirdest thing about that to me is that is very out of character for Adam Silver, which almost makes me think somehow they have been saying governor and I just never noticed, but that doesn't make sense.
We can go back to the press release on Mark Stevens, and they didn't call him,
they called him a minority owner,
right?
They
didn't call him Viceroy
Stevens.
No,
they called him an investor.
Oh, okay. See, that's what I mean. They may have
In the second release, they called him an investor. Yeah. He was a minority. Which, by the way, if the word owner bothers you, minority owner has to be even worse, right?
Well, but that... semantic...
Semantics. If we're following over ourselves over semantics, if you thought owner was insensitive, minority owner has to be the single most insensitive descriptive term in sports history.
No, look, I get that they want to...
I'm using the logic of your outrage. The world.
No, I get that they want to change the reference.
Right.
But don't tell me this is how you've done this forever. You've had a board of governors.
Yeah, it's weird.
But you know, Adam Silver was talking about the owners when they got rid of Donald Sterling.
Right.
And
was he? Are we sure?
I'm pretty sure yeah.
See,
the press conference, I mean.
It's funny.
All you have to do is say, we've come to this late. Players have pointed it out to us. When we called ourselves owners, we were sending a message to the players that frankly can get in the way of our negotiations for the next CBA. So
right.
We're going to stop doing it.
At that point, fine.
This is what it's just. I think it probably says more about me and my own view of myself versus you guys than anything. That when I saw that Adam Silver said that, my thought was, how'd I miss that? Like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say governor, but it didn't occur to me that he was making it up because it's just such a silly thing to lie about.
We call our team owners governor of the team and alternate governor. Okay.
Alternate governor.
I'm going to tell you this right now. No, you don't.
Somebody on the text line asked, so is a minority owner a mayor then?
It should be.
If the lead owner is the governor. Do we get a bunch of mayors?
At what point?
Councilman.
But right. Like, at what point do you have to be so far removed you're like the dog catcher?
I'm just,
510 texter says he's a governor of a 2013 Volvo.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
I just.
Damon, I am of African-American descent. I have zero qualm about the term owner. He owns the business, doesn't he or she? If I worked for a coffee shop and the owner walked in, I would think to myself, ooh, I better look busy because the owner just walked in. Let's not overthink this.
For what it's worth.
Thank you very much.
Here's the
difference. Just in another argument, too, Adam Silver says, he's actually heard both sides of the stories. Players do have differing opinions on this. Not everyone is leaning toward sensitivity. He's saying that a few players have actually spoken out and saying that the greatest thing that ever happened was when Michael Jordan was able to call himself an owner.
That's fair. That's very fair. But I think the reason it's different from the coffee shop is in a way that is much different from a coffee shop. What is a team besides a collection of human beings? Like when you say, I own the Los Angeles Lakers, everyone pictures.
Right. All the guys on the
human
roster,
beings.
You pay them and you have the uniforms.
Yeah. But when I say the Lakers, you picture human beings. When I say Starbucks, you picture a storefront. That's the difference to me in why it might be offensive to people.
Okay, but a team is not just players. You can make that argument.
No, of course.
It's front office people. It's a lot of different people. But your most important employees, the ones you pay the most money to, more often than not, either find the term offensive or are just okay with changing it. So this is basically, when it gets down to it, a fig leaf to take away a bone spur in CBA negotiations.
And why have a...
And there's nothing wrong with changing it. Call them Oldsmobiles. It doesn't matter. But don't pretend like you've always been on the right side of history here.
I agree.
You've changed your mind about it. It's okay to change your mind about it. It's okay to say people pointed this out to us and they were right.
We
changed what we do.
I don't think they even changed their mind. I don't think they had a mind about this. I think they just—it's always been owners, so it was owners, and I don't think it probably ever occurred to them that people might not dig it.
I think we should just reappropriate the word florist. If you're an NBA, congratulations, Joe Lacob is the florist of the.
I would like to pick something more
Golden State Warriors,
like perhaps flautist.
A flautist,
yeah. I don't know. Florist is just like that fits. Just flora, florist.
Just whatever you want to call it. It is ridiculous.
And if you have to negotiate with the flowers, I will. For CBA.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that the vast majority of the people dealing with topics in 2019, if the vehicle that brought you to the topic was a World War II U-boat getting to D-Day, most people would make it off the boat. As soon as the gate went down, you'd all be machine gunned right where you stood in the boat. I'm confident in that. I'm confident.
I think that's what happened to most people anyway.
888-957-9570 is the number. Jay Billis joining us at 4 o'clock today. We're looking forward to that conversation. If there was a guy who were, how could we better use Jay Billis, a smart member of the media, which is getting dumber and dumber by the day? Like, what would be a better way to reappropriate the power of Jay Billis? I think he is the most qualified person in the world to be the commissioner of college basketball. If college basketball would like to walk away from the NCAA and its arcane way of doing business that just really now prevents opportunity more than it extends opportunity to young men and women going to college, this would be the guy. This would be the guy. He has been poking holes in the "this is nonsense" balloon of the NCAA longer and more thoroughly than really anybody else. Anybody else. This guy has been destroying the notion that college is still done on some fair level and it should be the way we should continue to do things. And so a very interesting conversation coming up at 4 o'clock with Jay Billis today. We're also going to invite you to stick around because coming up, starting on July 8th, our celebrity contest is officially going to be up and running. And what could that mean for you? $5,000. Know somebody famous? How famous? Really famous. How famous? No, really famous. Like, hey, that's a movie star. Hey, that person doesn't need to introduce themselves when they walk into a room. If you know that person, you can get them to call our show. My God, $5,000 could be put in your pocket. That's all coming up next month. It's going to be a fun month here on 95.7 The Game. Kawhi Leonard seriously considering resigning. We are going to get to that. We're going to talk about how the NBA award show, which is happening at 6 o'clock tonight, is literally one of the biggest wastes of time you could come up with. When we come on back, though, a little baseball. The Dodgers just walked it off three straight times with three straight rookies. And, oh, Mike Trout, better pronounced Mickey Mantle. We'll have that for you next here on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
We are going to talk a little baseball here. Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky along with yours truly this afternoon on 95.7 The Game. It's our new summer hours from 2 to 6 is when we got you now. 2 to 6 p.m. means we're going to get caught in a little more rush hour traffic all heading home. You ready for that?
Not today. Your boy stays an extra hour today, so I'll be making the normal commute.
There you go.
Yeah, I was worried about you.
Yeah, I'm not really, yeah.
I appreciate both of your guys' concern, but I'll be okay.
I said we were going to talk a little baseball, and indeed we will. The Dodgers are streaking. They're doing it with walk-off rookies. We got Mike Trout basically doing a Mickey Mantle impression through this point in his career, and we've got the A's and the Giants to get to, but what do you know, we got to start with a little Frank Isola, who tweeted earlier today that the Knicks now want to fine Andre Iguodala for what he said about them on CNBC today. This is tampering. Here's what Andre Iguodala had to say about the Warriors, his teammates, and the New York Knicks today on CNBC.
I think they'll both be back with the Golden State Warriors. We're like brothers. Wow. We keep in contact. But regardless of any of that, both did decide to leave. They would still be my brother. I still keep in contact with them as much as possible. And I just wish the best for both of those guys. They come back full strength.
You're crushing the Knicks fans here with this kind of
Nobody's going to the Knicks. Sorry.
Nobody?
Nobody's going to the Knicks. Sorry.
Nobody.
So is Frank the kind of guy who would like be joking about this on Twitter? Like, do you think the Knicks really...
Oh, no, the Knicks are doing this.
No.
This is really happening.
Just got fined.
One, there's no value in Frank Isola telling a falsehood, especially as high profile as he is. Two, he also works for NBA radio. So he's, you know, part of the, quote, family. And three, he loathes the Knicks.
And this is very on brand. This is very on brand for a Knicks team that just got fined for throwing a reporter they didn't like out of press conferences and not inviting him to their draft thing.
And that's part of the reason why they are going to pitch. Well, if you're going to fine us, then we want Andre.
Except here's the thing. This is the rule of tampering, simply. Quote, no player, coach, or management person may entice or induce a player under contract with another team to play for his team. That is not what Andre is doing. Neither of those players are under contract with anybody right now.
I'm guessing they're not going to use the tampering clause to do this.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I'm saying that they want him fined for disparaging another team.
Not happening.
No, of course it's not happening.
And he didn't even really disparage them. He just said nobody's going.
Well, no, he disparaged him. Let's not try to make that work into not being finable.
But he didn't attach a reason as to why no one was going.
No, he let everybody put their own reason in their own heads.
That's right.
But
it's very Andre.
What this is one more reminder to Adam Silver why he spends an hour each day in his office putting his head in his top drawer and then slamming the drawer shut about 30 times.
You know what this also?
These are the 27 men and 3 women who make him craziest.
This is especially Governor Dolan.
Oh, yeah. Especially
and Governor Dolan. Oh, geez.
This is exactly why I've said all year long, as all this stuff has swirled around Kevin Durant, and I continue to believe he's too smart to go play for this bozo. This bozo who is not satisfied by just running the franchise in our country's biggest city, the marquee franchise, as you pointed out, in our country's biggest city into the ground for 30 years. But in addition to that, has to constantly go above and beyond to embarrass himself personally. It is staggering how bad this guy is, and I just don't think Kevin Durant, a smart dude, wants to go play for this bozo.
It would be taking a first-class player and attaching yourself to a second-class owner. And when has that ever really worked out well for the player? I could see how the owner's benefited from that on almost every occasion. Who's the player who intentionally steered his or her ship directly into ignoramus and came out the other side a winner?
I don't know that it's ever happened, but if you want to believe the narrative that Durant wants to be a hero, if he overcomes James Dolan, he'll be a hero in my eyes.
That's true.
He will have lifted a mountain from its moorings in the earth and held it up over his head.
There's no question if he somehow managed to even get the Knicks to the finals.
No, he's got to win it.
Well, sure. If he won it, he's God. Even just getting them there would be a pretty gargantuan accomplishment, I would say.
It would be bigger than any accomplishment he could have with the Brooklyn Nets, is what I was saying last hour.
I don't know. If the Brooklyn Nets won the title, yeah, you're probably right. That if you got them to the title, certainly if you won the title with the Knicks, you're accomplishing more than you ever could as a Net. The difference is the likelihood in those scenarios. And if I'm Kevin Durant and thinking about it, I'd rather go to the place where, sure, if I win, I'm not going to be New York's greatest conquering hero, but I might win, versus the place where, not going to happen.
Maybe. I look at it this way. If the Nets win a championship, the parade doesn't even come across the bridge. The parade doesn't even go to Manhattan. And if you're going to be a professional athlete in New York, yet you've already eliminated your trip through the Canyon of Heroes, should you ever win anything? Why go?
Well, he came here to win titles. There's nothing special about Golden State other than that they were poised to win titles.
And also the fact they never took the name of either town they were in.
Sure.
It was
he's a different kind of guy. I'm not sure anyone has a great insight into his thought process.
Oh, well, there's no doubt that no one has a great insight to that thought process. Kawhi Leonard seriously considering resigning, according to reports now, with the Toronto Raptors. We can only collectively watch, wait, and see together. What I do know is that we're, what are we, the sucker begins on the 30th, right?
Sunday. Yes. Yeah.
Sunday, now. Reasonably priced for what? 6 p.m. our time? 3 p.m. our time? What, I know that they moved it around. Is it noon our time?
I think it's in the evening.
These guys
I think
aren't
they
getting
just
phone calls at midnight anymore.
That's right. They just moved it a few hours, so there was people didn't have to lie about.
I think it's 3 p.m. here, 6 p.m. in the east.
We can easily find this out. Yeah.
So basically, next Monday's show is going to be like NBA cocaine.
That's right.
Woo!
I love NBA cocaine. That came out weird.
Let's do it.
Owner.
Governor. 888-957-9570. Celebrity contest beginning July 8th. Chance to make phone calls to find a famous person in your life who would be willing to call into this show on your behalf. If it's a big name, that could be $5,000 in your pocket.
Quickly, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, June 30th.
Thank you.
Who's your daddy?
Very
not
much.
You.
I said that literally 2 minutes ago, and you said it's easily looked. Able to look up.
Yeah, but that doesn't make you my father, for God's sakes.
Well, no, I don't want to be your biological father. Trust me. I've met your biological father, and he is already
got enough
a hero of massive proportions. Yeah. The fact that he didn't put you basically on a train.
He even still says hi to me sometimes. It's great.
Well, then maybe there are hallucinations going on here.
Before Jay Billis joins us at the top of the hour to talk a little basketball, little draft, little what's going on in the NCAA. Jay Billis from ESPN at 4 o'clock. We got to talk a little baseball. And we'll get to the Dodgers and the walk-offs, and we'll get to the Giants and the A's a little bit later on. I want to talk about Mike Trout. I want to talk about Mickey Mantle. Mike Trout just had his 5,000th plate appearance, did that on Friday. A comparison of Trout and Mickey Mantle through their first 5,000 plate appearances in the majors is absurd. Mickey Mantle, one of the all-time sacred names in the history of this game, like a cow that can never really be caught. Like, not only was the player prolific, the nostalgia attached to the player may trump any other player's nostalgia. Seriously. Like,
it's up there.
Mickey Mantle is Superman in terms of baseball lore.
I mean, the names that resonate that loudly... It's certainly less than 10 in baseball history.
Right. It's one of the biggest. Names don't get bigger than Mantle. Trout, though, might be up there one day. Through 5,000 plate appearances, Mantle was hitting .314. Trout's hitting .307. They're both at 262 career home runs on the nose. RBIs, Mantle .799, Trout .704. Runs, Trout, .856, Mantle, .929. The on-base of Mantle was 1.005 for Trout, .998.
OPS.
Yes, yeah. On-base. Sorry, what did I say?
You said on-base.
On-base,
but OPS.
Okay, OP, on-base, and slugging.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's right there. He is basically 7 points shyer than Mickey Mantle's batting average. And he scored roughly...
But you look at RBIs and runs, I think you can point straight to the Angels mostly stinking and the Yankees being one of the greatest teams of all time during that stretch, right?
Oh, totally. Who's Mike Trout's table setters?
Yeah, he's basically being Mickey Mantle, which is pretty good work if you can get it.
Well, the comparisons with Mantle will... I mean, this is about the end of that, because once he blew out his knee...
It was over.
Then... Trout will shoot by him in terms of numbers per birthday. But Mantle was on course to be one of the 5 to 6 best players in the history of the sport, maybe. Now, I don't think you can make that claim. Just because he blew out his knee and medicine in the 60s was basically a guy with a chisel.
Well, I think it depends, right? How you view the greatest players of all time sort of arguments. How much credence do you give to a great 7 or 8 or 10 year stretch versus 15 year, 18 year longevity, right? Sort of everyone has to make their own decisions on those things, as far as I'm concerned. But
after 10, I'm talking about after 10 years
I know.
Compare them again. I'm not talking about longevity. I'm talking about something slightly different, which is health. Trout's going to play 155 games unless he blows up his knee for another 10 years. That's how good he is.
Yeah, and that said, if Mantle's best 12, best 10 or 12 years end up being better than Trout's best 10 or 12. I mean, that's what makes these best player arguments interesting, I think.
More stuff to get into, but right now, as we slip into our 4 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.